Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Deadline Dilemmas ahead of Game Week 20, brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. We've started recording a little bit early, not because the Arsenal clean sheet's gone, but how are you, Praz? I think you're abroad at the moment.
Yeah, I am still out, but both of us have double Arsenal defence and I can't take it anymore.
No.
And I had Porro, and I would have been upset if you hadn't got the 5 points, but it is what it is.
It's been a painful week. I mean, and you had someone on your bench.
We are now well-known members of the community for picking differential hauls but not owning them when they actually do the points. And this is what we had with me with Chris Wood, you with João Pedro and Garnacho, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Picks that are seen as a bit stupid, but we don't actually get their points. So
exactly. At least we can recommend them, and hopefully some others do that listen to us.
So there were a couple of people that did get Garnacho. Because, I mean, it was you who suggested I bought him. That I could get to Solanke, who I then didn't buy Solanke, so I didn't get Garnacho's points, haven't had Solanke's points, I sold Pedro, but it's still a fun game.
Look, I mean, this week has been a little bit average for most people. I mean, how have you done this week? So just so that we can calibrate, if I can, let me check.
So I'm on 44, obviously the Arsenal game's not actually finished yet. About to.
Yeah, I'm on 39. So you must be on a small green. I'm on a small red.
Yeah, it's a very, very small green. So again, it's one of those ones I can't complain about the week, really. And I could tell just by today, I mean, people were so happy about the Porro haul. But I mean, because it was the only real points of the day. I mean, Son and Porro got 5.
Correct.
But I mean, it's 5 points. It's not...
I mean, I had 6 players going into tonight, and I was like looking at people's scores and going, okay, I'll catch up on Thursday. And here we are. It's just crazy, right? I mean, triple Arsenal, home to West Ham. I mean, West Ham are okay. It's not that, but you know, to get 4 points out of 3 players, that's not ideal.
No, it's not. But at least it was the same for everyone. Unless someone had Pedro, for example. I know Bricky, FPL Bricky, does actually still have Pedro.
And started him.
And he started him, yeah, with Darwin as well.
Wow.
But I guess we should get into, because I mean, the game week's just about to end. And we've got a new game week coming up on, it's on Saturday, isn't it? Saturday morning.
Exactly.
At least we haven't got long, so we're looking forward to it all again. And to be honest, a lot of people were, I think they were so bored after the games yesterday, they were looking at transfers and stuff this morning. Right. And I've almost forgotten about the Alvarez talk just because of what's happened this evening.
Correct. It's why we wait, right? It's why we sort of, you have other problems and then you decide, you know, like you and I have Richarlison. Now, he could have scored 2 goals tonight, but for his timing of his runs, but then he's also getting 60 minutes and that's not ideal as well.
The so early subs change. With him, they're very annoying. I mean, there's obviously a problem with his back that's been mentioned that maybe they're managing it, but they also took him off when the game was basically done, wasn't it, at that point? You hope it's good for his minutes in the next game, which obviously is at the weekend.
Correct.
And there's a lot of bench headaches this week as well. So maybe people would even look at benching someone like Richarlison.
I don't know. I mean, let's talk about our teams. And then in that context, we can talk about people's dilemmas. But as usual, we'll try to keep it 40 minutes because, you know, it's again a short turnaround. So people need to make quick decisions before Saturday.
Yeah. And I think, so we go to your team first. But I mean, and then we'll get on to, because there's been a few questions. I mean, I know Joe mentioned to me, what do Haaland owners do? But should we start with your team, your dilemmas, and then we'll get into that?
Sure, let's do that. I actually have an interesting one, a bench boost one. So I'll discuss it with you.
See, I like the idea, but it kind of makes me think of, do you remember I thought about it a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
With the bench, my bench was nowhere near as good as yours. I mean, you've got Dubravka, Konsa, Saliba and Wood.
Yeah. Well, let me read it out. So yeah. I am starting Areola. Obviously, after him getting two clean sheets in the last two games when I didn't start him, he will now not get the clean sheet against Brighton, but it's a better fixture than Dubravka. So Areola in goal, Gabriel, who I'll talk about in a second because I'm debating between Konsa and Gabriel. Pedro Porro, I think I'm happy starting him despite Spurs looking absolutely terrible in defense today. Then Trent, no-brainer. Midfield, Palmer, Saka, Son, Salah, Richarlison. So all good, but people are getting twitchy on Saka. And obviously the chat will let us know if he does anything in the last few minutes against West Ham. And then up top, I've got Solanke and Watkins, who, again, based on the Spurs performance tonight, I think Solanke is pretty good. Have I vice-captained him, by the way? No.
No, you got Saka vice.
Okay. I'm looking on my phone. and then, so there, this is where the dilemma comes. I've got Dubravka playing Liverpool, which not great, I guess. Then you have Konsa, Burnley at home, who I like a lot, but then it's not really a high upside. It's a six-point game. So between him and Gabriel is a decision, but it's a good fixture. And then I've got Saliba, who's benched, who's also, again, Arsenal defense, especially away from home, has been good. And then Wood as my third striker, who I have the funds for to turn into Alvarez. So if I did Wood to Alvarez, I was basically debating. Then obviously Alvarez would start and Solanke would drop to the bench. Or you could argue Palmer could drop to the bench or someone like that. Mm-hmm. Is that bench boostable or not? That was my thinking. And it'll then determine if I get Alvarez in the first place or not.
See, I really do like it. And I know when I thought about doing it, we talked about the quick turnaround and maybe a player will miss out. But looking at this team, I just can't see who will miss out. I mean, Alvarez, Watkins and Solanke won't. I wouldn't have thought. Alvarez is probably the riskiest of the lot. And I'd say there's like 1% chance that he gets benched.
Yeah.
Richarlison's probably the only one.
But he's not going to miss. And even if he does, he's going to cameo. And still I'm starting.
That's the thing. I mean, I guess actually Gabriel could be potentially. I never know. I never feel 100% on Gabriel. There's always that, okay, you know, 2 or 3% bit of doubt.
I think he's fine. I think Gabriel is as nailed as Saliba. I mean, I know we went through this phase of when he got benched for one game against Sheffield United. It was because of the international break and that, you know, even other players got... Otherwise, he's played, except for that initial first three games weeks where there was something going on which we can't address or we don't know. But apart from that, Gabriel is absolutely fine in my view. So there are a few things. Number one, if let's say I hear that Haaland is on the bench, then I think anyway going for an Alvarez becomes a little bit... And I think we should spend time on this because I haven't got him and you have him. So we'll get two different perspectives. Mm. I think if he's the best captain this week, but not by much, by a little bit. So I think he's the best captain by a little bit from Salah. But you could get huge upside. I mean, if he does well and you know, Newcastle, Salah against Newcastle is tricky. I mean, Newcastle defense away from home is not ideal, but it's still Newcastle. Or West Ham penalty.
Paqueta's gone off, hasn't he?
But Benrahma's on the pitch. I think Benrahma will take it.
As long as it's not Bowen.
I know what you're wondering. what I was saying was with Alvarez, I'm thinking you could get that upside this week, but then he's away to Newcastle, which is, you know, I'm not confident that he'll play. If I went with this structure, I think he'd be the one who I would bench next week. And so I'm basically getting Alvarez for 1 week. And then the next game week after that is in January 30th. By January 30th, you can be fairly confident that De Bruyne should be back. Maybe not playing every game, but he should be back in first team training. So Haaland should be back. Then he becomes a sell in a way. So it's a question of best captain by a little bit this week. You want to get him, but then he becomes a potential sell. But there is the other side of the equation, which is, let's say Haaland gets delayed. You get Burnley at home, which is that prime fixture. So you get two fixtures where he's amazing. He could continue to play. Maybe, you know, he keeps the place and Foden doesn't. So what's your other perspective as an Alvarez owner? Would you hold him beyond this game week or you are just in a good position to wait for Haaland to be fit?
So my plan was with him, and obviously I went for him over Oh, I went for him and Watkins over Solanke. So it was quite painful doing it. But I thought there was a better than 50% chance that Haaland would be out, you know, beyond the break. So I just thought it would be best. And I could cover for him in the blank game week as well. And obviously, this is the best case scenario. You know, maybe in my head, I thought it was like a 60% chance that this happens and Haaland's not back. And obviously, he is. I also thought there was a chance of being a double, which obviously that chance in game week 22, that's looking almost, well, actually, was it 20? It was 21 or 22, wasn't it? Where the double potentially was going to fall.
Or a penalty save.
What was it?
Yeah. Ben Rama miss.
I think Seb's got Raya, so I'm sure he's he had to get the jam right at the death. Hi, Seb. that's really thrown me now.
This is what happens when you stream in the middle of a game.
Thinking about so many different things at the moment, like completely multitasking. Well,
I know Rob, I know Seb, and I and FPL Pig or Ronald. They have Raya and many others, obviously. So they're happy.
Now that's
and
a haul, unlike the Poro five-pointer. Anyway, so yeah, with Alvarez, I was also hoping that he might have the double as well. And I'm really open to if I keep him or not. Obviously, I'm probably in a better position because potentially I've already got him in and I'm potentially going to look at rolling. But I think my plan at the time was to keep and just have Haaland and Alvarez along with, you know, another. The problem is there's so many good strikers at the moment. I mean, we've obviously seen what, you know, Pedro's going to be more nailed going forward because they've obviously got injuries on the wings. He's obviously on penalties, very good at penalties, very good at winning penalties. You've obviously got Solanke, who's been incredible. Watkins has incredible fixtures. So I do wonder if there is actually a space for Alvarez, but if I got stuck with him, I don't think it would be the end of the world. And I mean, those doubles will be approaching soon. I mean, I'd imagine 25 is looking the most likely at the moment. So I don't envy being in your position because I think it's tricky to bring him in because like you said, there's that big gap between the games as well. So having two free transfers, first of all, for if Haaland's back, but second of all, you know, there is a gap, but there's AFCON, there's FA Cup. Players can just get injured in training.
Yeah, yeah.
Although we won't get any more suspensions. At least we're past the first threshold anyway. So hopefully that will help a little bit, but... Yeah, I don't envy your position at all. I imagine if you bring him in, you're definitely going to put the armband on him.
I'll only bring him to captain him. Because, again, look, you can say Son could be a decent captain shout, but he continues to play on the left and he's fine. I mean, I see more hauls when he was playing up top. You saw Richarlison today, two big chances. He was offside, but two big chances. Those were going to Son earlier. It just falls to Richarlison more. So I'm less confident on Sun versus Bournemouth. And Bournemouth are looking good. I think their non-pen XGC over the last six with good fixtures has been very good. And I suppose the other one is Salah or Watkins. So Salah is the Newcastle factor. Watkins, it's, you know, a few blanks recently. Maybe it's hindsight. Not on pens. Burnley is still a good game. So it's these options, and I do think Alvarez is better than them if you have him.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even captain Watkins myself. But again, it comes down to the penalties. So it would be, between Salah and Alvarez, you know, if I didn't have them both. I mean, I think Alvarez is... I mean, because we've got confirmation as well, he's on penalties. Like, we didn't just... You know, it was speculated. It was probably 90%, maybe 80%, 90% sure he'd be on them. But we got that confirmation as well. So, I mean, I think between the two, and it wouldn't shock me if Newcastle, despite their poor form, you know, drag out a 0-0. I remember last season against Arsenal, I was, you know, very, very confident benching Trippier. And, you know, he put up 8 points. They did waste a lot of time in that game, which I think I mentioned in one of our earlier shows and some Newcastle fans got, you know, a bit upset. But, you know, it was a masterclass, you know, getting that 0-0. And it wouldn't shock me. It was absolutely shock me if City don't score two or three goals.
Correct. And for people who think, you know, I've seen someone throw the stat that Alvarez hasn't scored an open play goal in like 10 game weeks or something. But I think what you need to consider is underlying data. Last three game weeks, his underlying data has been superb. And so you can continue to believe that, okay, he's not scoring or he's, you know, he was playing further back or deeper than what Haaland does. All of that may be true, but set pieces, corners, free kicks, penalties, playing up top against Sheffield United, it's just a fixture that you target.
Yeah, I mean, his XGI yesterday was 1.75. So I think non-pen was, well, it was about one.
One.
If you count the Fluminense game, you know, he got two goals and an assist. He was then rested in the game before that. So he's had a bit of rest, which makes me a bit more confident about his minutes. And that was another thing that maybe made me think Haaland's not going to be back immediately. Mm-hmm. The fact they rested Alvarez in that first game. But yeah, I think I'm 100% confident I'll captain him. Your dilemma, I find that tricky because I think Solanke's stock's gone up a little bit having just watched Spurs tonight.
I would probably not play Palmer, which doesn't feel great. It's away to Luton. But it just makes me think that I just need to hold. I just need to say, because the other thing, which is the next topic we should talk about in relation to my team, and it's applicable to pretty much everyone, is Salah and Son, right? I mean, this game week that is coming up is the last one where we'll have Salah and Son playing. So next week, you'll have two blankers sitting on your team. And if you've already done the move to Alvarez and you're carrying just one free transfer, then you're pretty much benching one of them or taking a hit next week. Add to that, if you have to also get Haaland back soon, you're basically looking at three transfers that you need in the next couple of weeks to fix the two midfield positions and maybe a third or second striker up to Haaland. So three transfers are needed in the next 2 weeks. So rolling not for Alvarez makes a little more sense in my case, but then I also see losing some upside. So what are your thoughts on the midfielders?
As in midfielders, I'm looking towards. Yeah. I mean, I think the obvious one, people are going to be looking to move. Let's say after this game week, people are going to be looking to bring in Bowen because he's got that immediate good fixture and he's scored loads of goals this season. Personally, I don't think if Haaland's fit, I'm not going to be able to afford to go to Bowen without doing some kind of hit, even with two free transfers. So I'm looking more in the Pascal Gross, Elise as well, maybe Eze. Obviously, we need to know about penalties with Palace. So I'm probably looking in the cheaper bracket, but obviously I'm hoping. Then again, Gross isn't going to have penalties because Pedro's minutes are going to go up. So
He's still a good option. He played number 10. Although, ironically, today's numbers were not as great. I mean, single game sample size, but four goals and he was not really, his XGI was like 0.3 or something tonight. So I don't think, I mean, Gross is a great pick and why people are talking about Brighton. Estupiñán is back. You know, the team is suffering defensively, but they have got some sexy picks. And so those picks with Estupiñán and Gross, I think with really, really good fixtures until game week 28 is something that people could look to do.
And he's the only midfielder from Brighton you could really go for right now. Because obviously Matoma's injured, Adringa's injured. Obviously Pedro, Ferguson, Welbeck, they're all strikers. You're not going to go for Lallana because he didn't start today and he doesn't get more than 60 minutes.
Yeah.
So the Elise Eze would be probably the place I look to go. But actually, my question for you is how much would you want Bowen? Because I think he's going to be the clear popular one. He's obviously got an assist tonight, even though maybe the ball wasn't in play. I think one question is going to be, do we want to do a hit to get to Bowen if we can't afford it? I think there will be people like me where if Haaland's back, you don't have infinite budget. When you downgrade Salah and then to move up to Haaland.
But people should be able to afford because you'll be selling Son too, right? I mean, are you planning to sell both Son and...
Well, this would then be bringing in Haaland as well. So this,
yes.
So then three transfers.
I mean, if you want the player you want. So for example, I'm thinking Foden, Bowen and Haaland in for Son, Salah and...
So if you roll and then you'll do a mini wild card minus four?
I may not do all of them, so I could just get... I don't need to get Foden this week, for example. So I need to check if I can do Bowen and Haaland, actually. I'm thinking I don't even need Haaland next week. He's away to Newcastle.
Because Newcastle are so much better at home than they are away
from
home. Correct.
I know people will say Newcastle look pathetic, but Newcastle at home are a different team. So you could, for example, do just Son and Salah to Bowen and Foden next week and chill. And you leave, don't get Haaland. And then the week after, you have enough funds to take your third striker up to Haaland. So that could be a way without hits. And also another reason to save a free transfer this week if you can.
Plus, it gives you a chance to see, I guess, how many minutes he actually gets. Because that, I guess that could be another thing, couldn't it? Like, if he's on the bench, do you want to get him on the bench? Probably not. I know there'll be some people that are just desperate to get him no matter what. And I think we need to talk about people who've got him still, because I think that's the hardest of all. Because the rest of us can just wait. We can do whatever we want, and we can just do a hit to get him back.
Correct.
But it's very different if you're transferring him out, because, I mean, there's not a Kane, is there? You'll just probably move the money to Alvarez. I mean, would you do that, Haaland to Alvarez, if you had one free transfer?
See, the thing is, the people who still have Haaland have not spread the money, obviously, because they still own him. So at the moment, it's a case of you just take him out for a 1 or 2 week placeholder. And so for that, I think Alvarez works fine. And, you know, for the time when you have to sell Salah and you have to sell others, you may actually be floating around with 15 million in the bank, and that's fine. I mean, I don't think it's the end of the world, and a lot of us will be in a similar position. What you won't have is the ability to have a Trent or a Trippier in game week 22, because you're basically leaving your money parked and you haven't had the time to spread that money into defense. But to be honest, these things come round. I mean, we're already having bought Trent, now talking about if we can afford Bowen as a midfielder because we've spent the money in defense. So I think you should. Question number one is, should you sell Haaland? I think you have to sell. If he's sitting there and you know that you have a player who's captainable against Sheffield United, I think you do it. You have to make that transfer. Equally, if you have other major problems in the teams, then you can also hold. But I don't think it's a viable strategy. And even if it needs a hit, maybe that's where you go.
I guess it's different. Say you had two free transfers, and I know not many people do. I guess you could do Haaland down to Alvarez. And you could then spread the money a little bit, because obviously you're then going to be downgrading Salah and Son and all of
this. Oh, this is what we did 2 weeks ago. So yeah, I mean, they're doing what people did 2 weeks ago, but then where are you spreading it? If you're getting on Trent now, then you're basically following what people did 2 weeks ago. So I can see why people would resist it, to say, I missed the boat and I'm now catching up with the boat after losing like 15 points to the house. But maybe it's still the move. I do get the logic that if you have a couple of transfers, you can spread the money, because you will again generate funds from Salah and Son.
It's such a unique situation we've never had before, because I think in previous seasons, people would have just moved to Kane, or people would have moved to Aguero or Van Persie, you know, whoever it may be. But the fact is, we've talked about it before, that Watkins is the second most expensive striker in the game, and he doesn't feel like it. He still feels like a budget enabler.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, next game week, I mean, pretty sure Haaland's going to be out or not captained. You will have a game week with no premium, no player over 9 million. I mean, what Saka is, 9.1? So let's take 9.5. So De Bruyne is out, Salah, Son, KDB, all are not in play in game week 21. So it's a strange time. And I think what I would recommend not doing is spreading the money so much. Like, you know, you think you have all this money, so get Trent, Trippier, Edison, and then you struggle to get these guys back, because you'll still want them by game week 24, 25. I mean, there was a really good probability table today that was shared. I will bring up the name as you're talking, but it was basically showing that there's a 75% chance that Son or Salah is back by game week 24. And game week 24, they both have good fixtures, which is basically the reverse of last week's fixtures, which is Son playing Brighton or this week's fixtures and Salah playing Burnley. So you want them back if they're back for game week 24.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, that, because especially as I suppose we'll see what Son does against Bournemouth this week. But obviously after today, I think people are obviously very frustrated with Son, even though he got an assist.
Yeah.
So if he blanks against Bournemouth, you might get people saying they're not going to go back. And I mean, I do think he is getting to the point where he's quite expensive. Just relative to other players, because I was looking at it earlier and I was a bit shocked. I didn't realise he'd gone up to 9.9 million.
Yes, yeah.
It is a lot of money.
But again, once Madison comes back, he's going to probably move central again, because you'll have Johnson and Kulusevski playing on the wings. He plays in the middle. Madison is a better creator. So you'll get the reverse narrative as well. But look, it's very likely, as things stand, that Spurs are going to blank in game week 26. As is Liverpool, by the way. Because they both have, well, Chelsea have a good opponent and Liverpool have a good opponent in the Carabao Cup, and the final happens in game week 26. So Salah and Son are going to blank in game week 26, very likely to. But the only caveat is There's a chance that Salah doubles in game week 25. So you will definitely need Salah, but there is a case you can make to say, maybe I don't need Son.
This is where it's going to get interesting with, I feel like we're just waiting for more information. And then I think chips could get played. I mean, have you even looked at, I'm getting way too ahead of myself here, but have you actually looked at wildcard in literally in maybe February time?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Or even free hit, give me 25 or 26. I've looked at both the options, but at the moment we're working with such, you know, events that depend on so many other events that will happen in January. So those listening, if, you know, not to scramble your brain, but there's Carabao Cup games, the semi-finals, there is the FA Cup, two rounds of FA Cup. We'll have a much better idea before game week 21 deadline, which is on the 31st of December, January, what is happening when these doubles are landing. So therefore, just stay patient and you will have a plan to get one of them back, both of them back, or free hit them in for a double. We'll have a plan. So we'll discuss that then.
So for now, all we really need to think about is, do we want Alvarez? Keep our options open to get Salah, to get Haaland in, and just look at selling Salah and Son. So we're going to want midfielder replacements.
Correct. Midfielder replacements are going to be very popular. In fact, I've just finished an article for Scout on these midfielder replacements. So I've gone with short-term low-budget options, short-term high-budget options, and vice versa, long-term budget and long-term expensive options. So there's a lot there, but I do think it'll be, you know, either very low, like a Douglas Luiz. I have to say this every
time. Again. I'd forgotten about that.
And obviously the ones you're talking about, Eze, Olise, and then at the higher end, Foden, Bowen, Odegaard, these guys will be popular.
See, I really want to talk about Olise really briefly, because I've been waiting as a Reading fan to get him in. See, what I'm not trying to pick a player I want and then force them in. That may have happened a couple of times this season. But I mean, with Olise, if he's on penalties, I just think he's going to be, you know, above Eze as an asset. He's not going under the radar. He scored like three in the last four. He obviously scored yesterday against Chelsea. He took the penalty, real pressure penalty against City as well. I have been waiting to get him in. Incredible player. The fixtures aren't incredible. So I think you'd need to do a bit of rotation here, as in like rotating a squad. But I do think it can work. And I'm hoping Palace get a penalty this week so we get the answer between Olise and Eze.
Yeah, look, I think both Luiz and Eze are options, or Olise are options, because what you can do, this is for Palmer owners, you get them in and they can just stay. And then your route to getting Salah back or Son back is selling Palmer, because Palmer becomes fairly useless after game week 24. Because he has Man City, he has a blank. So, I mean, you could obviously keep him, but there is a route where you're basically removing your cheap fifth mid and you're replacing with another cheap midfield. It could be Garnacho as well, by the way, and then doing it that way. So, but I think we're getting ahead of ourselves. That'll be a discussion before game week 21, when people are looking to sell Salah and Son. I think clearly you keep them this week. It's more difficult for wildcarders, what they do. And I don't think we'll have the time to discuss wildcards in particular.
No, I mean, I did have a brief look at them earlier, because I know there's people on wildcard, and I do feel quite bad. I mean, it's a good thing to be on wildcard. I'd love to have a wildcard, even though I'm rolling. Obviously, it's going to be an advantage. But I think to take true advantage of it, you're going to have to take quite a big risk this week. I probably would have one of Salah or Son, and I'd probably lean towards having Salah. I don't know if I'd want to have both, because then I can't really see how you're getting in a better position than other people. You might have better backup defenders. You might be able to get like a goalkeeper rotation, you know, one that has future doubles.
Yeah, this is why it'll depend on how the doubles land. It could be a case of, if we hear about a double that's happening, then makes Foden a much better option than someone else. So I think we have that discussion in due course. And for wildcarders, they will just have to decide now in terms and hope to get lucky with.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. I'm streaming with Zoff tomorrow. We've got a wildcard draft, so I don't want to get too much into it. But I think there is a case for making a team with just Son, Salah, and having your three strikers up top, which is Alvarez, Solanke, Watkins, and then just committing to a hit in the next couple of weeks. And maybe that's a solution. But I can also see other people not going with one of Son or Salah this week.
I mean, it has to be used, doesn't it? So even if it, even if the advantage doesn't look as big as it could have been,
it has to be used this week.
And you'll be able to get some stuff around the edges that might be a little bit better. You know, you won't be stuck with like a Livramento or Lascelles, that kind of stuff.
There's always upside, but it's just how much of upside did you get? If you had had double announcements, Game Week 21 double announcements, Haaland being fit, it would have been a much bigger advantage than it will be now. But I think we're digressing too much. So in my team, I will either save or I will do Wood to Alvarez, captain, and then I will bench boost. Or I think that's pretty much it. I'm not going to bench any of the other guys. So the only way I'll get Alvarez and captain him is if I play my bench boost, which looks unlikely. So I think I'm more leaning towards a save this week.
I've never seen a situation like this because I completely agree. You can't do the move and not bench boost. I mean, the only real argument you could have against doing the move and not bench boosting is because your backup keeper doesn't have the best fixture.
I even thought about -4 for Edison and just get it done with.
And then you've got him for the double.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you'd be setting yourself up for the long term, you'd hope anyway.
What I did was, so when I looked at that Edison move and I thought, let me roll forward. And I think it's going to push me towards an earlier wildcard, like Game Week 26 or Game Week 24, which may be the popular move then, but I can't commit to it now going Edison.
I mean, I do like it. I don't want to talk you into it too much, but I mean, even looking at your bench now with Wood, Saliba, Konsa, Dubravka, I can see big points. I mean, actually, to be honest, not that big. Well, the Konsa and Saliba feel like 2 6-pointers. That's 12. Even if you get like a 3 from Dubravka, that's your 15. And then you've got Wood, who's in form.
But that's the upside pick, right? I mean, what you're saying, you've seen with Arsenal defense, if they concede, you know, there's no upside with Saliba or Konsa, not much anyway. There's very little upside with Dubravka. So then I'm basically saying Solanke or Palmer, who's my bench, I'm relying on them. And then it's the other thing, it's only 2 days after this week. So you never know who misses out. But anyway, we're going in circles because we talked about this. I want to talk about this super chat before we move forward. So thank you to Kay. His team is Areola, Trent, Poro, Gabriel, Salah, Son, Bowen, Saka, Palmer, Watkins, Solanke. So it's similar to mine. And except for Richarlison, he's got Bowen. I think that's where he is. He's got Dubravka, Archer, Cher, and Taylor in on the bench. He's saying, should I buy Alvarez and captain for Archer as a punt? So, okay, this is my dilemma as well, where if I buy Alvarez, then I don't know who to bench. And you have the similar dilemma where between Salah, Son, Bowen, Saka, Palmer, Watkins, Solanke, there's not a clear bench. So unless you're prepared to bench Solanke away to Spurs, don't watch the highlights for this game, firstly, for the game that's just finished. And secondly, yeah, that would be a route. But I personally, I 100% won't do it if Haaland is on the bench and it's rumored that he's going to be on the bench, because then I know Alvarez is a very short-term punt. I could consider it on a Saturday morning if Haaland is not even in the squad again.
I checked. I mean, with his team as well, obviously a big difference he's got Bowen. They're at home to Brighton. I think you're on mute, Prez.
I know. I went on mute because my daughter came into the
room. Oh, sorry. No, I was just saying, so Bowen, I mean, home to Brighton. Oh, it is literally your dilemma again. I don't know what I'd do. I think I would chance it. I do think I would chance it there. I possibly would do the move. Like you say, if Haaland's not in the squad in particular, and then just bench one of them. I mean, I think Solanke's a very good pick, but it's still a way to Spurs. So I wouldn't mind benching him. Palmer, again, yeah, it's a way to Luton. I mean, it could be painful. I think I would do it. I think I'm that confident in Alvarez this week. But based on my recent captains, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm right, but I'm feeling it this week.
No, I think I would do the same if I was on your... If I had your team and if I had Alvarez. So, the other super chat is from Christopher Icon. I have Alvarez captain over Son or Salah. I think we talked about this, so go back to the beginning of the stream if you want. But we do think he's the best captain, but not by a lot, by a little bit. Also, my bench of Toffolo, Lascelles, I'm not reading out the last one, failed me hard this game week. Gusto or Foden in or roll?
And it's hard without the team, isn't it? But I mean, I'd probably go Foden. I mean, to be honest, I'd love to go for two or three Man City players this week. I really would. It's just knowing who to sell. That's the hard bit.
Correct, correct.
Know to sell who, or know who to bench as well. So that's your main dilemmas, unless that's not all the super chats. We've done them both?
Yeah, we've done them both. Yeah. Let's go to your team.
Awesome. All right, we'll go to mine. Okay. So our teams were identical a few weeks ago. Then they got quite different. And they're slowly getting more similar. I mean, there are differences still. Not as close as they were. But yeah, so I've got Ariola in goal, Saliba, Gabriel and Trent at the back. So I'm happy with that. I've got Saka, Richarlison, Palmer, Son, Salah, Vice, Watkins, and then Alvarez captain. And I've got Darwin first sub, which doesn't feel great, but I just don't know how to squeeze him in unless I bench Palmer or Richarlison. And then I've got Livramento and Taylor. So eventually I'd like to sort out Livramento, but I mean, maybe I get lucky and it becomes more important again. You just don't know. So yeah, I think I'm going to roll. I don't have a nice bench boost route like you do. And I probably wouldn't go looking for it, as in, you know, it's fallen quite nicely that you might have the option. So yeah, Alvarez captain. I've talked myself into it more and more throughout the day. I mean, I'd love to get Foden
in. If Haaland is on the bench, would you change your mind?
Say that again, sorry.
If you find out Haaland's on the bench, would it change your mind in terms of captaincy?
That's a good question. I hadn't actually thought too much about that. I mean, obviously, if he's benched, as in if Alvarez is benched,
No. If Haaland is on the bench, yeah. That's significant news, obviously, for people who don't have either, who are looking to get Alvarez, because then you just say, look, forget about Alvarez. Haaland is back soon. But for even people who own, you may think, okay, Haaland will get 30 minutes here. So I'm only getting 60 minutes of a on-pens Alvarez.
It's a good question. And I suppose the same could be if De Bruyne was on the, like if De Bruyne and Haaland were on the bench, that would be even worse, wouldn't it? So
yeah
that, I mean, that might swing me back to Salah. Oh, but yeah, I don't know. I might just be so committed to it now. I might just do it and hope to get lucky because, okay. I mean, Alvarez starting, all the damage could be done in the first, you know, 60 minutes.
I really
do feel confident about it. And, you know, I've read things about, you know, Sheffield United playing like a back five, playing a low block, all this kind of stuff. But I think Alvarez has got so many routes to points. You know, we've talked about it before, free kicks. You know, he's on corners. He's obviously on penalties now. But yeah, I mean, if Haaland was on the bench, I probably need to think about it a little bit more. I just don't feel incredible about Salah, despite how bad Newcastle have been away from home.
Yeah. I'm the same. I this is what is leading me to think about the Alvarez thing, because none of, you know, if Salah had a good fixture, you could just say, okay, let's forget about Alvarez, even though he's slightly better. I just don't like captaining against Newcastle. They have that defensive performance in them, which we know. Okay, albeit there is a case for to say that away from home, they've been really bad, both defensively, offensively, not just in Premier League, even in Europe. So people can just say, look, just forget about it. Don't overthink it. But I do think Alvarez would be my pick. But I look, Oscar is in the chat. He's also making the point. Haaland won't even be on the bench because, you know, Guardiola did say January is when he'll be back. So maybe that's not a problem.
Although he does lie occasionally. Not Oscar. Oscar doesn't lie. I mean, Pep does lie. Pep lies occasionally. So
exactly.
It wouldn't be shocking. But that's probably, yeah, why I hadn't thought about it too much.
Correct.
I mean, yeah, if that did happen, I would have to have a proper think about it. But at the moment, I've got no doubts about Alvarez starting, which is good. I've got no doubts about Salah starting either. And I feel like it's one of these ones, even if someone thinks it's close, you know, I've got Alvarez on already. I'm not doing incredibly this season. I might as well just take the risk, have a bit of fun. And to be honest, the thing that annoys me is I'm in such a good position having Alvarez. I'd love to get Foden in. But can you see a way? I mean, I can't sell Son or Salah early because they're on penalties and playing at home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very tricky. And, you know, as we mentioned, wildcarders have it very, very tricky. So we will leave it there. But let's talk about Arsenal a little bit. Obviously, we've just had their loss and we're coming on the back of quite underwhelming performances from their team. From their FPL picks. I mean, I benched Gabriel the week he scores. I mean, I'm so frustrated with my Arsenal picks. What do you think? Where are you with them? You're on the same triple up as me.
I'm still very calm. I almost forget they're there. Yeah, I mean, I just look at the, you know, the clean sheet odds for the future weeks. I look at the fixtures for the future weeks. And I'm so confident with Saliba and Gabriel that when it gets to the end of that, you know, 6, 7, 8 game weeks, I'm confident they'll have got a decent amount of clean sheets. I mean, obviously, it doesn't always work out, does it? Look at like Man City, the crazy run that they're on. But yes, yeah, so I'm quite calm with them. And I'm quite calm with Saka as well, to be honest. I mean, he had a lot of shots today. He didn't really rack up the XG, but I think he was on at least 7 shots.
He should have racked up the XG. I haven't checked the numbers, but he had that header from Gabriel from really close range. He hit the post. They could have had a pen. So I'm actually less worried about Saka than double Arsenal defense, because I feel like I'm going to be playing Trent and Poro a lot.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be benching one of the two guys anyway, most weeks. So that's where I'm thinking, you know, I've blocked myself out of Odegaard. If I want to go there, I'm not desperate to go there. But if I wanted to go there, I'm blocked off and I'm not going to be playing my second Arsenal defender many weeks anyway. So
that's the difference there. It's Poro really, isn't it? Because I'm not that keen on Poro myself. I'd rather just roll out the Arsenal defenders. And I mean, it's boring. Like what you said earlier really struck a chord, because the second West Ham scored, it was like, oh, that's pointless now. We've got Saliba and Gabriel. Whereas at least with Poro, you've got the, you know, he might get an assist. Obviously, he got bonus points today because Pedro absolutely dominated them. And then there was no one else scored like more than one attacking return. So
that
definitely helped. But yeah, he's a lot more fun. But yeah, with the defenders, I'm just going to, you know, I held them through the bad fixtures. I probably should have been changing defenders more. But now this is the run. They're the best defence in the league. It's boring. It's a bit like parking the bus, isn't it? I'm just going to play the best chance of a clean sheet and hope they string a couple together.
No, I hear you. I hear you. And I'm similar. I'm not panicking on Arsenal picks. They are still a very good team and they've got very good fixtures coming up. This was one of them. As home to Arsenal, home to West Ham, I would have expected more than 4 points from the 3 picks, but it is what it is.
This is what's given you the benching dilemma or the bench boost dilemma, because you've got much, much better defenders than me, which gives you more choice. Like you can, you know, pick and choose. Obviously, you can get unlucky like you did with Gabriel against Liverpool. So I'd find that really tricky, because you've got Trent, you've got the two to Arsenal. I mean, you played 4 at the back this week, didn't you?
I did,
yeah. Which, again, it's not bad to have those players, but I'd find that so difficult, because you've not only got to decide if you want to play both Arsenal, but then if not, you're playing Poro. Which Arsenal do you bench?
Well, I'm just going to pick Gabriel, just for historically knowing that he's got better attacking potential than Saliba, even though I don't think there's much in it. I mean, there was a week, I think last week, even against Liverpool, I benched them both, but I played Saliba over Gabriel, where a lot of people, other people, I think you did as well, played Gabriel over Saliba.
Oh yeah, I did get lucky. That softened the Solanke pain, if I'm totally honest.
Yeah. So look, I mean, I think that's fine. And they're not that expensive that you can't carry them. I mean, Gabriel is 4.7.
He's actually hit 5 now. They both rose. He's hit 5 now. And Saliba actually is probably borderline overpriced now. Like, I think he's 5.6. But obviously, we've had him a little while.
I won't have him on wildcard if I was doing there. I would probably have Moreno or Estupinian as the 5 million-ish picks that have good upside.
Yeah, defenders are actually back. We've not really mentioned that. But there are some picks in defence now. Probably much more exciting ones than Saliba. So,
Correct. Nemanja actually says on the chat, there's Walker as well, Estupinian, Moreno, Poro, but good upside picks, but not as good defences. So,
no. Walker does have the double potentially. I mean, I almost went Walker, because I had Walker early in the season. I almost went for him over Trent, and I'm obviously very glad I didn't because of the outcome. But those people that have got Walker, they've had every minute in the Premier League. They've not just not points. Had the points.
All right, so we leave it there. Actually, last question to you, Son. Son captaincy, what do you think?
What, Son over Salah?
Yeah.
It's really hard because it's quite raw after watching the football tonight. It's put me off Son. But, I mean, it technically is the better fixture, isn't it? I mean, I know Bournemouth are much improved. It is the better fixture. If Richarlison goes off early, it means Son gets the 30 minutes. You'd hope 30 minutes, you know, playing up top.
Well, will he go in? Because Kulusevski is now suspended.
Of course, yes.
So You'd actually think that Son, Richarlison, Brennan Johnson will all play pretty much the whole game, because Lo Celso would play there probably. Lo Celso instead of Kulusevski, but Lo Celso can't play 90 minutes. So it will be him who will come off. I don't know for who. So it's a tricky one, actually.
I guess it depends on if Richarlison's, if it's Richarlison's back, that's the reason he's only getting 60 minutes or not. But yeah, good point on Kulusevski. And actually, it worries me because Dunk's suspended as well. Yeah. And obviously that he's up against Bowen. So that's, or would have been up against Bowen.
Correct.
But yeah, so I think that's really it, isn't it? Like, you've got a big decision to make. I'm actually going to put your team up as we exit, because this is a big one. And like you say, it's going to impact on your future moves as well. Like when you wildcard.
Yeah, I'll chill till Saturday morning, yeah. And then I'll see what I feel.
Because, I was trying to hype it up, and you're just calm down, Rich.
Because look, if it's just for a week, is it really worth going there using two transfers? At the moment, no. So I would say 25% or 20% that I'll do the Alvarez move, unless something changes between now and then in terms of Salah's minutes or Son's minutes. So, yeah.
It's literally all in. And either way, it's big swings because, I mean, Captain Alvarez, this is obviously very obvious, Captain Alvarez, and then Salah goes absolutely crazy.
You could have a negative bench boost, or obviously bench will score positive points, but a negative because you chose a certain move to go for a bench boost.
That's the thing. But I mean, these things we can't predict. There's three good captains this week.
Correct. Oh, actually, Michael Scott makes a good point. No Kudus or Paqueta, because Paqueta came off injured today.
Kudus is gone, isn't he?
Kudus is going earlier than the others.
So stupid, Anne. I don't think many people are looking at the defensive moves this week.
I will share a draft next tomorrow with Zoff, and he is in. Estupinan is in.
Okay, I'll be watching. but yeah, so don't forget to like and subscribe. And in the description, you can still get 20% off as well, off of the members area. And Praz, I guess I'll see you
in the new year.
Yeah, it will be in the new year in 2024.
Yep, indeed. So yeah, wish everybody a very happy new year. Those who listen to Deadline Dilemmas, those who listen to The Wire can listen to me tomorrow as well. But with you, Rich, and it's been a pleasure. It's been good this season, and hopefully more to come next year.
It's been a good year, and yeah, see you in 2024.
Bye, everyone.